The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Oh, hi. If you like this show, will you leave a review for it wherever you listen to podcasts? You don't even have to write anything. Just some stars will do. It's one of the most effective ways to spread the word about us and one of the most meaningful ways to show your support for what we do. We are so grateful. Okay, here's the show.
Welcome to A Thing or Two, a deep dive into stuff we think more people should know about. I'm Claire Mazur.
And I'm Erica Cerullo. To share your thoughts on this episode or anything really, leave us a voicemail at 833-632-5463 or DM us on Instagram at A Thing or Two HQ.
And join our Geneva. The link is in our bio.
Wow.
I teased you that I was going to have a new line.
You are a damn genius.
I know. We've been getting a lot of questions
link
lately
in
about
bio.
how to join in our Instagram bio.
You came across something recently that's worth sharing.
I did. This came to me via the Every Girl newsletter. I gather it is a creation of Clean Talk, which is a corner of TikTok I am absolutely not on.
I don't even swipe away from it. It's not even served to me.
So the concept is called closing shift. Uh-huh. And the gist of it is that you are applying to your home the same mentality that you would if you were working a restaurant job or a retail job where you are in charge of closing.
Yeah.
And part of the closing shift is always you're cleaning everything up, putting everything away so that it is all ready to go for the opening shift the next morning. And can you take that same mentality and apply it to your home and say, I'm going to do this at night so that I am waking up tomorrow to my house and home and life ready to go?
And it's also a treat because many of us do clopens,
a close open.
Where you do the last shift of the day and the first shift of the morning.
Yes, you're in charge of both.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No, I do think it's a gift to yourself.
So it is mostly a gift to yourself.
Yes.
I like the routine of this. I also just think it's a really good opportunity. When you were telling me about this, mm-hmm. I could not think of Closing Time by Semisonic.
I saw this in the show notes and I was shocked to discover this is not a Green Day song. I was like, that's not a...
Pardon me?
I thought you said... You said to me, makes me think of the song. I nodded and said yes. And then in my head, I'm like, and then we could also talk a little bit about Green Day. We'll get off a whole tangent. And then I opened the show notes to find it is not a Green Day song.
I think I only knew this because a friend's high school band like covered it. But here's the other thing I have for you.
Okay.
It made me think of like actually working in retail mm-hmm. and doing yes. the closing shift and like yes. tight and like folding jeans, mm-hmm. which I am quite good at. Yes. I'm like very good at folding mm-hmm. clothes, having worked in retail. Mm-hmm. And do you know the guy who does that Gap Store playlists mm-hmm. Instagram account, Mike Buys? Mm-hmm. His playlists live on Spotify, which I didn't know because it's not very well publicized.
Does he have a closing shift one?
Well, he doesn't have a closing shift one, but he has like Gap 1995, right. Gap mm-hmm. 2005 playlist, which, you know,
can get you feels in the mood like the for right, a closing
yeah,
shift.
Exactly.
For sure.
Exactly. Exactly.
I will say Chris does the closing shift at our home. And I'm very grateful
Thomas
to him for
kinda it. Thomas kind of does, too.
I think he likes it. It's when he listens to his podcast at 1.5 speed and, yeah. you know, and I feel like there's just certain things in your home that are, it's like.
It's when Thomas cleans a humidifier.
Oh, see, that's, yeah. Mm. I love this mentality in general. I think I have incorporated it more into my personal hygiene routine than anything because I think the thing.
You do closing time for your face.
I close shift my face. I do closing shift for my face. And I notoriously do not like to, you know, take off my makeup. It took me forever to become a daily flosser. And the thing that has finally forced me to become someone who does this pretty religiously is just no matter how tired I am, I just want the experience of waking up, having washed my face and flossed my teeth and all of that.
You've put future you into focus.
Yeah. And, you know, this is famously something that children can't do is like think ahead. And it's now that I'm 40, I'm finally
past that infantile stage of not being able to sort of make decisions in service of my future self.
I absolutely love it. We have a delightful returning guest today. Nikki Oganike is the editor-in-chief of Marie Claire. She writes a very, very good shopping newsletter called Self Checkout. She has wonderful style that is just like so truly her. And she will also just make anyone want to be a runner, even if you don't actually follow through on
this. No, yeah. She's a delight and an inspiration in every way.
That's right.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here.
I am so thrilled to be back.
I kind of can't
believe to be back. I feel like last time you were on, it was at the very beginning of our culture's obsession with The Real Real. So that's how long ago.
Yeah,
it's true. It was pre-pandemic. It was a whole other time.
You were at GQ at the time.
I was at GQ. I was in the fashion department. And I was only there, honestly, like the pandemic hit in March. I had started there in November, and then Bazaar came calling, and so I hopped over there. I was only there for like a year and some change.
Wow.
And now you're running the show at Marie Claire.
And now I'm the editor-in-chief of Marie Claire magazine.
And I can't believe we got on your schedule.
Yeah.
Gosh. Legitimately.
I love it. I just love it.
Because you also just got back from California. You were in LA.
I did.
Doing Power Play.
Yeah, we were in LA. Marie Claire has a summit that we do every year. In the past, it was called Power Trip, mm-hmm. but this year I really wanted to sort of rethink the way that we do it. And so we rebranded it to Power Play. And
Play is a good word in general.
Yeah. Right? Good. It's good. Yeah. And I think it's sort of, you guys know me, it sort of speaks to both sides of me and how I operate.
Yes.
I'm very serious about work, but very serious about fun as well. And so Power Play was a summit where we invited 100 really interesting, sort of incredible founders and CEOs, tastemakers in LA, and the goal is to replicate it in DC and in Miami and to really just bring the experience to markets that are often, I guess you can say, overlooked. So to be able to bring it to somewhere like Detroit is really important to me because there's so much creativity and sort of like new founders popping up in that space. And so I want to be, you know, a outlet for them to sort of share what's going on in their world.
What were some of your favorite takeaways from the event? Like, what were the things you learned or you were like, that made you think?
Oh my gosh. So we had Miss Tina Knowles, Beyonce's mom.
No big deal. No big deal. A favorite Instagram follow.
Right? It's actually incredible.
So good.
So she came by and she talked about Sacred, the hair care line that they launched together. Mm-hmm. And something I thought was really interesting that we talked about was the patience that it takes and can take to be ambitious.
Mm.
The line that I think a lot of people struggle with, you guys, I'm sure, as well. When do you say, no, let's do it again versus it's fine, let it go? And
just think about it every day.
Think about it every day. Like, truly. Is it good enough? Should we go back for another round? Right. Should we? And, you know, when they were, Miss Tina was talking about a specific product where Beyonce just sort of kept pushing them. And she was like, I know you guys can do it better.
Yeah,
I know you can. 12 tries later, they finally got, I think it was the scalp scrub that they wanted, but they finally got that scrub. Miss Tina was sort of ready to be like,
it's
good. Fine.
And we'll like iterate over time and we'll update figure the formulation
out. But, you know,
and
Beyonce is a classic Virgo and a very hardworking Virgo. Right. And so she was like, no, guys. She said, I challenge you to do better.
Is a really good framing.
Isn't it?
Like, it's really,
like, for your sake and for your growth.
I challenge you
to really, you know, try to execute better on this. And I was like, I'm gonna file that one away.
This is a conversation we have a lot about perfectionism and like that, basically, like whether when you should be pushing towards perfectionism or when you should be pulling back from it, because that is like such a tricky line to walk.
Absolutely.
Like, constantly. And our management coach has this line where he'll be like, not everything deserves your A work, which is true and like so important, but the scalp scrub does.
Right. And it's hard when it's like, it's, you know, it's a conversation when it's yours and your name is going on it versus like something you may be doing for somebody else. But
Well, and there's the issue of, are you not putting it out because you're scared, right? Like, and there's such vulnerability to putting something out in the world. And do you just keep, is your perfectionism actually an excuse? And, or
is it insecurity?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
masking as perfectionism.
100% avoidance. Yeah. Like, right. I can't do it until I get it exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you could probably, like, you're 80%. If you behave that way, your 80% is probably somebody else's 100%. So, like, you should probably just put it out.
Yes.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
Thank you so much to Nuuly for sponsoring this episode. I have to shout out, well, one, our listeners, but two, Nuuly for offering us an experience as podcast hosts that I don't think I've had before, which was the most enthusiastic DM from a listener who was just so excited that we were advertising or that Nuuly was advertising with us, because she was like, I love Nuuly. I tell everybody about Nuuly. I'm obsessed with Nuuly. My two most common text messages to my friends are, have you listened to this A Thing or Two episode yet? And this is my best rental from Nuuly this week or this month or whatever. It was a truly satisfying and delightful moment. So listen, Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. You have access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands, everything from party dresses to premium denim and one-of-a-kind vintage pieces. They carry brands like Farm Rio and Selkie and Anthropologie and A. Goldie and Lisa Says Ga. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Fast free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, so you don't need to worry about laundry, and you have the option to buy what you love and keep it for sometimes up to 75% off. It is just fun, as our listener pointed out. You get to get inspired, text your friends, and be like, oh my God, look at this thing I got from Nuuly. It is sustainable. It's kinder on the planet. Orders are shipped in recycled, recyclable, and reusable totes with no plastic packaging, and it's flexible. There are no late fees, no damage fees, no fees to pause or cancel. So no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or just need to take a break.
Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code ATHINGOR220. Just go to Nuuly.com, that's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code ATHINGOR220 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with two U's, with the code ATHINGOR220. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Hi, friends. I'm Cameron Rogers, host of Freckled Foodie and Friends podcast, which is now on Dear Media. Are you wondering what just happened to your life after having a baby or struggling with your mental health during postpartum? That was me just a few months ago. Are you working on healing your relationship with yourself, your body, and or food? Same. We are all on a journey to self-love and acceptance, and I'm right there with you. That's what Freckled Foodie and Friends is all about, reminding you that no matter what, you are not alone. Make sure to tune in for season 5 launching with Dear Media on November 9th and subscribe to listen to new episodes every Wednesday morning.
You also have a must-read newsletter, which I'm so excited about.
Self-checkout. So good.
Yes. You go on the Marie Claire website and sign up for the what is essentially like the Marie Claire newsletter.
Right. And that's how you get it.
And that is how you get it.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So that's how you get it. We are also putting it up on the site a week later.
Okay.
But self-checkout is my way to sort of be nosy about what my friends are buying, but also impart some wisdom about what I'm buying. So last week's newsletter was about work bags, a conversation that everyone cannot stop talking about, apparently.
It's
a big sort of conversation. And I had, you know, friends of mine share, Claire, you were one of them, share the bags that you guys are carrying. And I think that's just another way to reach an audience that may not be reading Marie Claire as rabidly, but we find that our open rate is amazing because it's an engaged reader that really wants to know about what people are buying.
I also think your approach to shopping and style in general is unique amongst the sea of style newsletters, and you have a real curiosity and a real appreciation and a real joy and sort of lack of it. I think that you are less personal about it in a way that is actually really helpful. I think you have like a very
personal sense of, of style, 100%. What you wear, but like you're also just interested in like what is happening in the world.
Yeah,
in that
I'm
way.
Very curious about fashion
general.
That's
a curiosity.
Like why people choose things, why they want to wear, you know, that white t-shirt from that brand as opposed to this other sort of brand. I'm open to learning about all sorts of things, but I am very like specific about the brands that I shop.
Oh my God. Your personal style also is just one of the most, I would say, honed. Like you,
honed. That's a good word. Thank you.
At what age do you think you were like, ooh, I did it? Because you,
because
at some
I do
point,
feel like if we had your clothes on a mannequin, like if we had like four outfits on a mannequin, we could be like, yeah, that's Nikki. Like it would be, you could pick it out.
I think probably only recently, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think I've always had an idea of like how I wanted to dress. Mm-hmm. And I may have probably in the past dressed for a life that I was sort of trying to achieve. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I also got to a point where I was just kind of like, I am constantly running around. So like, I just need cute sneakers. Like I could be that girl that's teetering around in heels, yes. but like, I can't actually yeah. be that girl. So like, what's the cute sneaker? What's the cute mm-hmm. rain boot? Like, what's the cute flat? Those are right. just things that I'm always going to be interested in. The same with pants and jeans and trousers. Like I am attempting to be a skirt girl. Mm-hmm. I'll never really be a dress girl. Like yeah. that'll never be sort of in my DNA often. But I've just figured out these sort of, not even necessarily uniforms, but I guess formulas that yes. work for me. And it just has made getting dressed fun and also easier. Like I don't like to feel tortured by my yeah. wardrobe. Like yeah. it's a sort of thing that happens to women a lot. And mm-hmm. I think with the proliferation of social media, everyone is just being like, you should be a coastal grandma. You should be a strawberry cheesecake. You should be a this, you should be a that. And it's like, wear what you want to wear? Like, it's fine.
Yep. Do you feel any pressure to incorporate trends? Like, you mentioned trousers, which are a staple of, I think, your personal mm-hmm. style and your look. Are you like, well, I now need it to be a longer trouser or a wider trouser or whatever?
I think I've aged out of that, yeah. I gotta say.
Yeah.
Like, I think probably, you know, 10 years ago when I was, you know, 28 and running around in New York and trying to figure things out, like, yes, I did feel this sort of pressure to try every trend.
Yeah.
And we think about the Marie Claire woman in the same way. Like, we like to say that she is trend informed, but she's not trend driven.
Yes. Yeah.
And that
yeah,
is
yeah,
very yeah, much yeah. my personal
yeah.
style as
yeah,
well.
Totally. Yeah, totally.
I think that's right.
What would you say are the sort of like signatures of your style?
A scarf, as I'm mm-hmm, wearing yeah. it today. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a scarf, I think like pants, trousers, that sort of thing. I love a button-down shirt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a little like sporty without, not like athleisure yes. sporty, but sporty.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I think, yeah. you know, like the anorak that I'm wearing yeah. today, yeah. it's a Nike Sakai anorak. Like yeah. that is very much a part of my personal style. There is a sort of like classic sporty, not so much with an edge, but with like a kind of quirky twist sometimes uh-huh, uh-huh. that comes to be with my personal style.
Yep. Can you talk to us about your thingies?
Oh, yes. My favorite part.
I'm so excited. I'm like on edge.
Okay.
Suspense.
Where should I start? I don't
even
know.
Whatever feels right to you.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. So let's talk about white t-shirts because I feel like that is
really important topic.
I don't wear white at all.
At all?
At all. Nope.
Oh, that's all right. So funny.
The management, the like care okay. is, I just, yeah. it's too much for me.
That is very interesting that you say that because I pulled out a white button down to yeah. wear originally. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to get makeup on the collar. I don't yeah. really want to deal with that anymore. So chambray shirts are actually like a thing that I rely on because, yeah. you know, brown makeup is a little easier to hide
mm-hmm. yeah.
if you happen to get it on the collar. White t-shirts, though, I'm very specific about the white t-shirt that
Please.
I like. It's Uniqlo U.
Mm.
Okay.
$14.90.
Great.
Uh-huh.
Great price point. It is the perfect weight. I have found that you can layer it under a shirt like this one. Mm-hmm. You can also wear it on its own, so mm-hmm. it looks deliberate.
Yes.
Like, not like you just pulled it out of nowhere. Like, right. it really looks deliberate. The collar doesn't fall apart.
This is what I was going to ask. I mean, I have some very expensive white t-shirts that once they went through the washer, I could never wear them again because the collar's all screwed.
It falls apart. No, yes. the collar is great.
What kind of collar is it? Is it like a...
It's a crew neck. I only yeah, wear yeah, crew neck yeah, for yeah, the yeah, most yeah, part. Yeah, yeah. yeah, and it's just, it's like the perfect collar, perfect weight. I usually bring two or three to Paris. It's like mm-hmm. something that I always pack. It's okay. always a part of my uniform, so...
And it's a short sleeve?
Short sleeve, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to try it.
I love it. Okay. It's incredible. Vegamore, I think is how you say it. Biotin gummies.
No.
So if anyone is dealing with hair loss of any sort,
uh-huh.
these are the hair gummies that worked for me specifically.
Wow,
like I
okay.
tried them. So I had some like breakage in the front of mm-hmm. my head. And then I guess my hairstylist said in the middle of my head, I don't really know if that's true or not. But I found that taking Vegamore, what I really loved about Vegamore, I think I'm saying this properly, is that it's one vitamin as opposed yes. to like four with other brands.
Totally.
Yeah. And it's a gummy. So yes. it tastes good.
Yeah.
I really love the gummy delivery
right? yes.
system.
Yeah.
Like I had been taking them during the pandemic and then kind of just like forgot to reorder and just restocked on like Ollie gummies from mm-hmm. Target. And it is such a nice like lunch dessert to have these two stupid
true.
Gummy worms.
Exactly.
Because they've also like made
what
them candy
what
now.
Is in your Ollie gummy?
Vitamin D is one, and then another one is like biotin or something. Yeah.
Do the gummy vitamins mess with your stomach less? Like, can you take them on an empty stomach?
I take this one on an empty stomach.
Yeah,
actually,
I
what I do is I
take
this
helps.
And my multivitamin together on
That's
an empty
smart.
Stomach, and I'm fine.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I don't ever
do
feel anything from
okay.
these gummies.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a treat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. And it says, you know, that it has all the things, biotin, folic acid, vitamin A, B5, CE, 6, whatever, all of the things. Mm-hmm. I just know that it like actually has worked.
It worked.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It really worked.
Okay. Helps with growth and breakage.
Breakage. It has grown my nails as well. I'm assuming the biotin has something to do with that. And my hair as well.
Love.
Yeah, it's incredible. So, as we mentioned, I was in LA for Power Play and I had my makeup done by this incredible makeup artist. Her name is Uzo.
Okay.
One name. And
she only needs the one.
She only needs one name. She also, in the past, has done like Aurora James.
I was going to say that's exactly how I know her name is from Aurora James. And I was,
Claire.
Am I embarrassed? Am I proud? I don't know. But, you know, it's a memorable name.
You are a
name.
Deep reader of the internet.
Aurora James makeup always looks good. I love watching people get their makeup done.
I do like watching people get their makeup
same.
Done.
It's like very soothing.
Yeah. And I can picture her.
Yeah.
Great.
So Uzo is incredible. She has two eyeliners that lasted me the entire day of programming that we did. I got my makeup done, I think that day at 7 a.m. and it lasted like well into the night. She has a liquid eyeliner and a pencil eyeliner, as I said, 100% stayed put.
And they're black. Her brand.
They're her brand.
Oh.
Uzo liquid eyeliner and Uzo Beauty, I guess.
How do you spell her name?
Uzo.
Okay.
I do find that when people, like makeup artists or just creative professionals, launch one or two products and they're not launching a whole line, it's not a whole business, they're just like, I just needed this one product, it's really good because they're like, I couldn't find the right one,
like, I had to make my fucking own. everything.
And it's not they're doing it because this is their retirement plan, they're like, no, I actually just needed this and it's that good.
And what I also love about her liner, like, yes, it lasts all the time, but it is that sort of like pitch black that looks really good against like dark brown skin.
Yeah.
It shows up black. The pencil is really easy to draw with. I think with the liquid one specifically, the tip is like just firm enough that it feels like I'm writing with an actual pen rather than sort of a flimsy.
Like painting.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like when it feels like a watercolor brush. Yes. And you're like, no, I'm not skilled enough for this.
I'm not an artist.
I can write on a page. Exactly. I cannot paint a picture.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's really easy to sort of to deal with. And it's $21, which I think is like a nice approachable price point.
Great. Agreed.
Yeah.
It's a liquid and a regular eyeliner.
She has two. So she has one black. Okay. Or they're both black.
Okay.
Liquid and in pencil.
Do you wear eyeliner most days?
Every day. Yeah. So what I like, I do liquid up top. Or for Power Play, we did liquid up top and pencil in the lower lash line. I don't do lower lash line.
I never do lower lash line.
But I do a like liquid cat eye probably 5 out of 7 days a week.
Yeah,
and it's like goes on very easily.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing a cat eye? It feels
interesting.
This is the like advanced move.
Yeah. I know. I think it was just, I mean, I must have been, I don't know, I look at old pictures from when I first moved to New York and I was like, you were not doing makeup. Like, you thought you were doing makeup and not quite. So I would probably say.
Well, what were any of us doing?
Yeah, exactly.
It's true. Really?
It's true. So probably around like 30 is when I think I got really like figured it out.
Yeah. Impressive.
Do you have a technique?
It's interesting. So I've been bouncing around from makeup line to makeup line for a really long time. I love Merit Beauty. Yeah. I think is amazing and their colors are really great. Uzo taught me this past time that we were together how to sort of use three different concealers around my face.
Whoa.
And use that as a foundation as opposed to like one foundation. One single shade. She was like, you need to go. This was actually blew my mind, but she was like, you need to go lighter through the middle.
Okay.
And she was like, the colors that you're using are actually too dark. And I was like, I didn't even know that was possible.
Yeah.
But go lighter through the middle and then darker around the periphery.
Okay.
Because that's where like the sun hits you, but you want to look bright when you're coming through there.
I'm always confused about this because I have also noticed when I'm watching these videos that it does seem like there's a brightness down the bridge of the nose. But then when people say where the sun hits you, I'm like, well, the sun hits me down the bridge of my nose.
Yeah.
Like what? It shouldn't that
I don't
be darker?
Know. I don't, but I think maybe like from being outside, it hits like at the sides.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That makes
I don't know.
Sense.
I was blown away when she told me that. I was like, okay, now I have to reconsider the entire strategy.
The whole process. Yeah.
Start over from scratch.
So now I am a bit of a painter where it's like, all right, I'll do this one over here and this one over here. And
okay.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to Fast Growing Trees for sponsoring today's episode. So I'm sure you all were just like waiting with bated breath to hear what tree I picked from Fast Growing
Trees. To be honest, I was.
I'm so glad to report that I got a Primark Freedom Blackberry. And yes, thank you. Thank you. I love having like berry bushes. Mm-hmm. They just feel like very special and fun. And when people come over, they're always so delighted that there's like fruit you can pick off a little bush. It just, I don't know. It feels like we're not in a city. It's so fun.
Well, and blackberries are an expensive. So you're really, this is a cost saving mechanism for you.
It is like basically, it's like basically like I'm making my coffee at home by growing this blackberry bush. What I'm also thrilled to report is that this tree is in fact growing very quickly.
Wow.
And I got a report from my husband last night when he was checking on the plants that this bush might be winning the race of the season of just like really coming in, getting it all. It's ready to go.
Wow, that's exciting. I can't wait to see it. Did you know that Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so many more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you so you can find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. You don't need to have a yard or a lot of space. You can grow lemon, avocado, olive, or fig trees inside your home. And on top of the wide variety of houseplants available, the experts at Fast Growing Trees curate thousands of plants so you can find the perfect fit for your specific climate, location, and needs. You don't have to drive around to nurseries and big gardening centers. They make it easy for you to order online and your plants are shipped to your door in 1 to 2 days. Whether you're looking to add some privacy shade or natural beauty to your yard, Fast Growing Trees has in-house experts ready to help you make the right selection with growing and care advice available 24/7. Talk to a plant expert about your soil type, landscape design, how you take care of your plants, and everything else you need. No green thumb required. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code A Thing or Two at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code A Thing or Two at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code A Thing or Two. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
Okay, my next thingy, do you use the Nike running app?
I did for a really long time, and then I just got into the, I had to shirk the quantifying, the quantifiable self of it
yes,
all.
Yes, yes, yes.
But I do love it, and I do let, I mean, we are both,
I don't
so
even
good.
Really run anymore, but I still like engage with so much Coach Bennett content.
He truly like is actually one of the most inspiring people I've ever heard in my life.
On planet Earth.
He's incredible.
He really is incredible. And it's like, it's very, he's like, you know, kind of nerdy about running. So it's funny to hear the way he talks about it, but it really does. Obviously you play it while you're running, but it is so applicable in so many other parts of your life.
Yes. That is what he's so good at.
So I feel like when I start the day with a guided run by Coach Bennett, I'm like, okay, I have so many things.
I'm ready to go.
You know, I'm ready to run the race of life.
Yeah.
Because
oh my God.
Coach Bennett.
Oh, we'll link to it in the show notes, but we had him on the show so long ago, like 5 years. I was pregnant.
Yeah.
But I remember talking about, I was very pregnant at the time, and we were talking about, you know, trying to maintain my running routine while I was pregnant. And he said, never diminish any effort that you make, which I think about it once a week in any sort of life situation.
He's always like, this is about running, and this is definitely not about running. Yeah. It's like, wow.
He's such a hidden secret, I think. You know, people who know him love him. Our friend Mickey Rapkin is obsessed and wrote a whole profile of him, right?
I probably could like quote back like most guided runs on the Nike Run Club.
I think he's incredible and he does all sorts of runs. So he has like the mile sort of, you know, like shorter distances. Yeah. I listened to him when I was running the half marathon. Like he does longer distances.
And are you putting
distances.
Music behind the runs? Uh-huh. Can you put music, or you can put music behind his conversation?
Yeah. Great. So I'll do a little, it gives you both basically. So you'll, you know, I listen to like really ratchet rap when I run. So it'll be that. And then interspersed with like Coach Bennett's.
Yeah,
like,
that's awesome.
Words of wisdom.
I do need to get back to doing that. I also learned, I believe via you, that Nike is returning to their women's race routine, which is, I loved.
Yeah. I mean, very little details, I guess, but it's coming back in 2025. And awesome. They were the first reason that I even ran my first race. And so, and I'm coming up on 10 years of like really solid running. And so Nike and the Nike running app and all of that plays like a huge sort of role in my running journey, which I think has influenced the way that I approach life in general.
How do you think about running? What, like, how often are you running? How long are your runs?
I do a mix, honestly. I think I usually try to do one race a year.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, 3 to 4 months of super concentrated running is the number one thing that I do. I do it when I'm in training for a race. It's usually a half marathon. I run probably 4 days a week.
Yeah.
And it's anything from a speed run that is 30 minutes to a long run that is 11 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, an hour and a half-ish of running. Yeah. But I really love just the sort of consistency that running gives you. I think that there's no sort of like you're a bad runner or you're a good runner. Yep. I think the process of committing yourself to doing something day in and day out for a larger sort of payoff.
Yep.
That has nothing to do with work.
Yep. Yep.
A goal that you give yourself is really important to me as somebody who is so like driven when it comes to work. So that's really lovely. And then I just have met so many amazing people, Claire, one of them, through running. And I think the community around it has just brought me so many great things, like the people, but then also the places I've been able to be or go running. I've run a half marathon in Paris. I did a running trip with Nike in Tokyo. And so just to be able to see the world through running has really been just like incredible for me.
Well, and like running while traveling and seeing cities that way is like such a different experience than anything else. Yeah. Just the ground you can cover.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think especially in a place like Paris, like there is a lot of, there's like a Barry's boot camp now in Paris. They have a lot. Yeah,
right. There so is like workout culture there now.
There is workout culture there, but it's like Paris is such a gorgeous city that you truly can just get out there, run a few miles, walk a few or whatever, and like cover a lot of ground in the city and see it. Yeah. And just do something for yourself along the way.
You were talking about coming up on 10 years of running and going through different phases of it all. I've also been running for a really long time and sometimes I'm really slow or just not great at it or just not getting as much in. And it's that knowing that like, I'll be fast again one day or I'll run a half marathon again one day.
As is life.
Yes, exactly. Like it does not always have to be
this upward trajectory.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. Yeah. And getting out of the habit of constantly comparing yourself to a former you.
Exactly.
You know, that is something that I think a lot of runners go through, but just being conscious of the fact that you're doing that and trying to break yourself out of that habit is really important, is something that, you know, running has brought me.
Yeah. That's so many good just metaphors for life. It really gets out of control when you start getting into it. You're like, it's all running is just the most beautiful metaphor for life.
It really is. And when people are like, I couldn't possibly be a runner, I'm like, why not?
No,
like,
why not?
Unless you have like physical ailments. Yeah. I get it. Yeah, but like, you could do, even if you ran like a 15 minute mile or whatever, walk. Like the movement that you give yourself before you give yourself over to anyone else, I think is so important. And that's what running has brought me.
That's a great line, Nikki. The movement that you give yourself before you give yourself over to anyone else.
That's my way of thinking. Thanks, guys. So I will say two other recommendations that I have to do with running specifically
are
the bike shorts that I run in.
Which are what?
Fabletics.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, Earthball. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so, Kate Hudson.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So the Define Power Hold high-waisted 9-inch short.
Okay.
And the On The Go high-waisted 6-inch short are two shorts that I've run like many, many marathons, many miles in. They do not budge. I do not chafe. I have, you know, I wear like a 29, 30 bottom. They do not ride up. Like they are perfection.
Great to know.
They're perfection.
Great to know. A bike short is a hard fit.
A running short period.
Yeah, a running short period. Agree. A running short period.
I agree.
Yeah.
Everything's creeping. Yes. Yeah. Now I only do bike shorts for running. I used to be a baggies girl. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
No, I used to never wear them. And I remembered that you always did.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm exclusively like, I don't know. I just like feeling held in and
compression. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And the Fabletics, like I've tried many a bike short from various brands, and Fabletics is one that I always come back to because they really fit me perfectly.
Huh.
Yeah. And there's like a store on Fifth Avenue now, so you can just go in and buy them. Yeah, nice. Try them on.
Nice.
Great.
I love it.
It's also the chafing thing is a big thing. When I like at some point the baggies, I was like,
there's just too much fabric moving around.
Yeah. Too much. And like I'm concentrating on like shifting everything when I should be concentrating on like my breathing and my running, you know?
Exactly.
The sports bra I like to wear is the Panache Underwire sports bra.
This is a Panache is the brand. Mm-hmm. Never Panache even heard of it.
I know. So I did an interview probably like 15 years ago with a bra expert, and they said that if you're above a size C, I believe they said, you should wear an Underwire sports bra.
When I was like doing cardio, which I don't really do anymore, unfortunately, for no real reason, I would wear this. There was this old Champion Underwire sports bra. It was really, really good.
Yeah.
But it makes a huge difference.
A huge difference. And it, I mean, this one has a bit of a like breastplate like a vibe to it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But it holds everything in place. Again, it's the bra that I run like my most miles in, my marathons in. And it comes sized, so you can get like a 32 double G in it or whatever. Yes, I think it goes up to like a G or whatever. So it comes in really great sizes, especially if you're a small band and a big cup. This is the bra for you.
Yeah.
Okay, this is helpful. This is helpful.
That's great.
I am going to reveal where I buy my watches
as
my thingies.
Wow. Girl boss gatekeep.
There it is. I am not going to gatekeep this one. I have a pretty healthy watch collection. I think I've only bought one at, I guess, retail.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are pre-loved or however you want to call it.
But you are the forever home with
pre-loved. I'm like, they're secondhand, which I'm like actually fine with because a lot of the watches that I want are older watches anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm wearing currently an AP Royal Oak that they don't even make anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it on Fashion File. Ooh. So Fashion File was started in California, and they have like an incredible, they're known for their bags mostly.
Okay.
But they have an incredible, incredible watch collection.
P-H-I-L-E?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So Fashion File is one I got.
It's accessories only?
Yes.
Okay.
Bags, shoes, jewelry, and watches.
Okay.
And they have, I think it's like a hidden gem that I'm now exposing.
Uh-huh.
You're welcome, Fashion File.
No, it's good. You want them to stay in business.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I got my second watch from there. I got a Cartier Roadster from there. Mm. And then I got this watch from there. And they just have an incredible selection and not a lot of people know about it. Mm-hmm. So that's one. The Real Real obviously is one that everyone shops. Yeah. But they do actually really have a good selection of watches on there. And
I think people don't think of them for that.
Yes. They don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, they shop for everything else. But you can get a lot of really great. There's just like such a treasure trove of things there, and they have a lot of really great old models of things that may be sold out, you know, or like reissued that may be sold out. So that's a good place to search. And then Bob's Watches.
Yes.
You
okay.
guys know Bob's?
Our old, well, I did not see this coming because I didn't know that other people knew about Bob.
So Bob of Bob's Watches was one of our former intern's dads.
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So we knew about Bob's Watches like a decade ago, but we didn't know. But it's like, it's become much more of a thing.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, at the time, she was like, maybe she forwarded an email from her dad or something, but it was, I don't think he was online yet. And he was like, wanted advice about whether he should use Shopify or not, because we were on Shopify. I mean, this was
some e-com questions.
Yeah.
Some e-com questions.
But it was very much like your intern being like, hey, my dad has a question for you, and being like, okay.
And he has a watch business, and you're like, I don't know if this is legit or not, but it was.
Well, because it's called Bob's Watches, right?
And so you understand.
When you hear Bob's Watches, you're like, oh.
Surely it's a man in his garage.
I mean, what am I going to get? Bob has an incredible selection, selection of watches. And Cam Wolf, who's the watch editor, obviously you guys know Cam. Mm-hmm. When I started at GQ, I was like, where, you know, I'm interested in watches. Where do I get one? And he was like, I know this sounds like a fake place, but Bob's Watches really is incredible. And so you should consider Bob's.
This is great to know. I just never in a million years thought we'd be talking about Bob's Watches.
I love it.
Ever or today.
I know.
That's great.
Yeah.
Excellent intel.
Love Bob's.
Do you have any other thingies?
I mean, I kind of do. Should I keep going?
Yeah, keep it going. Keep it going.
I only have one more, and it's like related to running, but Element electrolytes are ones.
Oh, yeah. I've been seeing people really into this.
Yeah. I love electrolytes.
Daily. Daily. Wake up.
So it's a powder, right?
It's a powder.
Yeah.
It's mostly
And it's spelled
salt.
L-M-N-T.
Exactly. Okay. L-M-N-T, My favorites are grapefruit and watermelon.
Okay.
I saw this in Hunter Harris's newsletter this week is where I, I like watermelon. Strong sell. Okay. Yeah,
delish. And you're putting them
and
in your
like watermelon salt. It's
watermelon
called.
Salt, basically. Yeah. And I put it in the water bottle. Okay. Usually, if I've been drinking that night, I'll come home and have the elements. Smart. So I feel like I'm hydrating while I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
If not, or if I've come from a long run or something, then I make sure to have it in my water bottle ready to go. It doesn't have that weird sort of like chalky taste that a lot of these electrolytes can have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I feel like they actually work and I feel very hydrated afterwards. I put my boyfriend onto them and he is like obsessed with them now. Huh. Philippe has very discerning taste.
Yeah.
So.
No,
I'm excited to try this. I love Gatorade.
When
we were in Tokyo, have you guys had
Picari
Sweat?
I know. What's that?
Yeah. Okay. I have, they sell them as dry powder too.
They do
so
too.
I keep one in my travel pouch.
It's like a lemon lime flavor and it's very mellow. But when we were in Tokyo, I like had it multiple times and I was like, yeah, I do feel like off a plane. It was just like, wow.
Oh, yeah.
And it is, it is the Japanese like hangover cure, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if you're in sports, like obviously you know that electrolytes are something and people know of Gatorade and that sort of thing. But I really do find that it does keep me hydrated. Fun fact, I had vertigo because I wasn't hydrated enough. Wow. So like hydration is something that I think about a lot.
Yes.
And electrolytes help with that. They also have a flavor chocolate that you can put in hot beverages. So you can, it'll be like a little hot chocolate.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, that's Nikki, I love this.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming. Everybody's going to sign up for self-checkout if they haven't already, obviously.
Yeah.
That's the show.
This has been a production of Dear Media, and we are so grateful to the talented team over there for helping us make this podcast happen, especially our wonderful producer, Olivia Mead. You can follow us on Instagram at athingor2hq. If you have ideas for the show or want to advertise, email podcast@athingor2hq.com. Find show notes and sign up for our newsletter at athingor2hq.com. And if you love our show, you'll also want to join our Geneva. Lots of good chatter happening there.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.